Happy Tuesday. What the heck is today? Monday. Happy Monday, ladies and gentlemen. I usually do Tuesday and Thursday, so the Monday threw me off. So this is Rob. This is episode number 290 of Shut Up and Grind. If you're new to the show, we're all about overcoming obstacles, defying the odds, and helping you clear whatever is blocking your path from what you want to accomplish in this life. So today we're going to be speaking with a gentleman joining me from San Francisco, California. We're going to talk about his time in the military, how he battled through some mental health struggles, and then opened up a multi-million dollar equestrian business. So having this conversation with me is Zachary Layden. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, Layden. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for taking the time. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Just give us like a quick bio.
Yeah, sure. So I joined the military early on, right out of high school. I was in infantry, deployed to Afghanistan. When I came back from the military, I went to college, was following that path, and was going through some mental struggles. I ended up getting connected with horses again, which I had a past with them. And they were able to kind of bring me back, bring me present, make me feel like myself again, feel alive, feel healed a bit. And so I kind of jumped in with both feet and decided to give my all to horses. And I built something incredible with it.
That's great. All right, so at what age did you first get involved with horses?
Yeah, so there was this girl that I liked in high school, and she liked horses. So I was like, hey, I like horses. And so it started with that. Yeah. Then I started getting a real passion for the horses. And, the girl, ended up, like, dating other people, and I kept wanting to hang out with the horses. So it was a good start, good point to get me in there.
Okay. And what types of things were you doing? Were you caring for them, riding them?
Yeah. So I am a big fan of like the Ray Hunt, Dorns Brothers style of natural horsemanship. So I like the bond that you can build with a horse and how you can get your horse and you to be in sync and kind of move as one. I followed Buck Brandeman around, who learned from Ray Hunt, who learned from the Dorns Brothers. I'm a big fan of that. So from a young age, I just wanted to be able to get a horse to have a better bond with humans.
Okay.
I joined the military, came back from the military, and like I said, the horses helped healing me, and I got right back into that and still following that same philosophy.
All right. So what led you into the military?
From as young as I could remember, I wanted to serve. I wanted to fight for our country. I felt like service to our, for our country is something that every man should do to kind of build themselves into adulthood. I have different philosophies on it today, but back then as a kid, as a young man, full of testosterone, that was my thought.
I love it. All right. So you said that you went through some mental health struggles. So take me through that.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of factors to it. I lost people while in Afghanistan. That's something that always triggers me and makes me think back on, could I have been a better version of myself? Could I have trained harder? Could I have put myself in a situation to have changed that? And, that stuff hurts. But then also there's the factor of, you're in the military, you are serving for a bigger purpose, something bigger than yourself. You have a strong feeling of, responsibility and you're moving as a team all towards a common goal. That's not something that you really find in the civilian world. So you leave the military, you go to the civilian world, and, you go from being, a part of a team and strong collaboration, and you having, a heavy purpose and the training that you do, it's for some reason. Then you go back to the civilian world and you find that there's not really a place there for you. Not exactly the way you are. You have to readapt, and you put a lot of emphasis on like, you don't want to pull your team down. You need to have value. Like, you don't want to drag people behind. And so you come in the real world and you're like, I'm just a drag on on society right now. Like I don't have anything to offer. And so that was something I had to really struggle through. And then I was able to work with horses again. And I found that I was helping them. And so I was like, okay, well, I have a value here. And so that was able to be present and feel good with my growth there. So it was huge for me. Yeah.
Let me expand on that a little, because I've interviewed probably about 70 veterans, and that's a recurring theme. You know, it's kind of, obviously it's not serving your country, but Olympians go through that too. Like every 4 years, they're just, you know, training. And then the Olympics is over and they're like, now what? You know, because like I've interviewed some of them as well. So like that struggle is similar, but I found with the veterans, especially veterans that have been deployed, there's a lot of things that you all go through over there with civilians like myself. Appreciate you for it, because I just couldn't do it. You know, I was supposed to go to the military in 94, and I ended up coming down with a heart condition out of nowhere. So I think that was the universe stepping in, telling me this isn't for you, you know. But anyway, I found that's a reoccurring theme, that people struggle finding that bond or that purpose. So you said, when you started using horses, started working with horses again, that helped you recapture that. So take me through that.
Yeah. So the opportunity to work with the horse was kind of, I was at a pretty low point, and there was this Vietnam vet who had a horse facility, and he gave me an opportunity to come in and help him tip some Mustangs. And coming in there, you know, the thing about horses is that they're a good reflection of you. You know, you go in there hot and heavy, that they're going to, you know, be a reflection of that. You're not going to get a lot done with them. If you're thinking about what happened yesterday, you're not present. So your horse is going to feel that. Let's say that you go in there angry, something simple that everyone can think about. Let's say that you're driving to the barn and you get cut off and you're really irritated about that person who cut you off. So that just set your tone wrong. So you go to the barn and you're just thinking that guy, and you're just upset.
Yeah.
You go into the round pen to work this horse, and this horse sees you, and it can see through all that and just sees like this angry, you know, layer. It doesn't know where it came from, but they're very emotionally intelligent. So now it sees a predator. You're no different than, you know, a saber-toothed tiger coming in there angry. They think you're hungry and that you're going to eat them. Like not necessarily that sense, but, yeah. But, you know, like, okay, what's this guy doing? He looks a little ornery. And so then you're not gonna be able to get that same bond, because, you know, they feel that. There's to get going with a horse, you have to be very deliberate. You have to know what you're going in there for. You have to put your ego at the door. You can't bring your ego in there, because if you get, you know, frustrated, or you think that you're going to get something done, the horse is going to tell you a different way. You have to be willing to think about things in a horse's perspective. So all of these things together, you know, it forces you to be present there with the horse, rather than, you know, before I started working with the horses, I was constantly thinking, what could I have done? What should I have done differently? Or I was frustrated with the situation that I was in. And then working with the horses, it stopped being about me and it started being about the horses. And how do I get this horse to the next step? What are the steps that I'm going to take to get them there? How can I keep my ego out of this? You know, maybe I won't get where I need to go with the horse, but can I get him a little bit better today? So there's a lot of moving pieces that got me to a better place. And I could really dive into a lot of the different facets of how a horse is healing. But that would take up the entire day. I do clinics on this alone, so we could talk for 5 hours on it.
Okay. So I want to talk a bit, because it's funny, because I was writing this word down right as you said it. You said emotional intelligence, right? And that's huge. And that's universal. It's like people don't understand that. It doesn't matter what struggle you're going through. The steps forward are very similar. You know, they're very, very similar. And like, and as I've been doing this now since 2020, and said I've interviewed hundreds of people, and I hear all the stories, it's all about taking those first steps toward healing. Like I myself, I've lived this. This is why I do this show. It's like I've lived this. I've literally lost absolutely everything and had to pick up the pieces and move forward every single day. But to your point about I needed purpose, right? And I got back into coaching, You know, so instead of just wallowing in my self-pity, I got back into coaching track and field, and that just relit my spirit again, you know? And
yeah.
I feel like that was it for you, leaving the military. You had that void, and then you found a higher purpose bigger than just yourself, and that was able to replace your void in the military. Like, that's what I'm gathering from you.
Yeah, so like my outlet was I found horses, and I found that as the thing that I could impact and change and be fully involved in and find purpose. You found track and field, and you're able to come into that. And I'm sure you were changing people's lives as you were coming in there, and you're able to see the impact of you being there. And you know, that if we could find a way to get more people to feel that feeling, I think that we can make a big change in this world.
Agreed. Like, I was talking to someone just the other day where I said the real beauty in coaching, like, I'm a fitness coach also, of watching people get it, you know, because most people come into a fitness program not because they're feeling great about themselves. Like, there's a select few, but most people come in because they're at some emotional place where they don't want to be, or some physical place where they don't want to be. And then just watching them catch fire, like, that's the real joy. And it's just cool that I get paid to do it, you know, but it's like, I started this, like, this was never supposed to grow into a business. Like, I started this as a hobby in my garage, you know, like, it was never supposed to get here. I did it just because I loved it. And then it became my passion, you know, and with you, I feel like it just came full circle, because you already had that love of horses. You went to the military, and then you came right back to it because that's what you know, and that's what you love.
Yeah. I mean, yes. So the horses, as far as my like passion, I came back and the opportunity was there and I was able to get with them. But like, I put together a plan and, you know, went through the process to turn it into a business. And that was a whole journey in itself. That was a whole nother. So like, first I decided, okay, horses are everything to me. Now, how do I give back? So then I made, my mission was help horses and heal veterans. How do I put that together and build a business around it? So
love it. Yeah, go ahead, keep on expanding. So how did you come up with the concept, and how did you put it into action?
Yeah, so the mission started with help horses, and it was very simple. It was like, I wanted to be involved in horses. I wanted to give horses a better way, a better chance, and I wanted to be fully involved in that. So first thing was, I looked at my skill set. Okay, I can work horses. I know how to train horses to a certain extent. I can ride them well. I've got a couple. What other skill set do I have that I could put together with this and make a business? So I was thinking military. I was in long range surveillance. I have a land navigation background. So with that special operations aspect of my background, I could take one piece of that works for this, put them together, and I can pack people in for hunting trips. So that was my first step. I was like, okay, well, there's something. So let's put together some advertising. Let's put together a system. How can I put horses and land nav and hunting together? And I started getting some people that wanted to get packed in. And I did the work, the groundwork. I you know, tracked and found out what the patterns were and got people some good hunting opportunities. That was great, but it wasn't scalable. So, you know, building the business, I wanted to build it into something scalable and sellable. I didn't want it to be completely revolved around me. My idea was, how can I impact more people? Well, get more people interested in natural horsemanship. Well, I wasn't doing it there. So I was like, okay, what's the next step? Do some of the same things, but let's do luxury, you know, pack trips or kids camps. And so we did the luxury pack trips. We're now impacting more people and getting them more involved in the horsemanship. I was able to get more staff on that end, but it still wasn't scalable. So then my wife came in around this time. She was a horse person in her own right. I got her to get involved in what I was doing, and we did kids camps. And so the kids camps was a little bit more scalable. I was able to kind of put together set drop zones where we can have the food and stuff already there. So it was no longer really a pack trip. It was like these, we already had patterns set up. And so we can get people to take them on the rides, go through this process. And it was good. That one came in with its own set of chaos. There's several times where I could have fallen on my face, and I probably should have fallen on my face and been done. But I kept punching through it. And like, for instance, our first kids camp ever, this story is just insane. First kids camp ever, I have like 40,000 acres that we were going to be riding on. And the guy who kind of mentored me through this stuff, he was going to come out and help me on my first kids camp. It was kind of an agreement for me working for free for him for a while, learning the ropes. He was supposed to help me on this first one. The day the kids showed up, he calls me and says, "Hey, buddy, I can't make it."
Oh, no.
And this is the guy who knows all the trails and knows the whole system, right? This is first kids camp. You know, 10 kids show up, two counselors, and then, you know, they're all here ready to go on this ride. And I'm like, okay, my guide's not here. So I went up to the counselors and the kids with a compass, protractor, and map and said, "Hey, you guys are going to learn land navigation as we go through this."
Talk about ripping off the mandate. I mean,
like, that was not the plan, right? That was not at all what I thought I was going to do. But I taught these kids and I taught these counselors land navigation. We figured it out as we're out there. They had no idea how, you know, close to lost we were a few times in there. And we came back, and the company that hired us to do this said this was the best trip that these kids have ever had. The counselors were ecstatic. This was amazing. Like, you're adding this land navigation side was so unique and exploratory, and they thought that it was the best thing ever. So I added that to the rest of them. I got the contract, and that was like the blast of the success of my business. So it took a failure for me to succeed, actually.
It's so funny how that works, though. Like, that happens in so many different instances. Again, just people that I've interviewed on this show have had things like, I don't remember his name, but this gentleman has an entertainment business, and he was just messing around with his camera and started a whole thing about filming behind the scenes and what they do. It was just, he just stumbled upon it. And same thing here in fitness, same thing. Like, I went through different styles, different formats, like trying to see what do I want to do? What do I want to focus on? And then my business coach, he says, who are your clients? Like, who makes up most of your clientele? I was like, moms, like around 40. He's like, there you go. He's like, serve that market. He's like, you're already serving them. He's like, and so once I focused all of my energy into that, my business blew up. You know, I was too busy trying to be everything to everyone. And once you zero in one area, you know, that's when things take off for you.
Yeah, you niche down, right?
Absolutely. All right. Yep. So where do you see this business going?
Okay, are we back in the past still, or are we present? Because there's many steps between where I just left you and where I'm at right now.
All right. So keep building.
Sure, yeah. So we have the kids camp wilderness experience that we're doing, and we're in the middle of absolute nowhere. And I put a book online software that had a trail aspect to it. And so we were getting people coming into this middle of nowhere place from cities 3 hours away. But my wife was homesick, and she wanted to go back to where her parents lived, which is in the Sacramento area. So to help my wife get closer to her family, I went and found every single dilapidated horse property or underutilized horse property within a 50-mile radius of where her parents lived. And I built a business plan for every single one of them, how they could be more profitable and how they could scale their business and turn it into something that's more successful than what they're at. Mapped it all out for all of them. And then I started going to each door, knocking on it, saying, "Hey, listen, here's my plan. You can take this and you could try to make this succeed, but I can tell you I can make it succeed. So you could hire me in, contract me in, and get a percentage of my success and let me run the show. Or you could take this for free and try to do it yourself." And I did this proposal to 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 20 places. And then eventually I came across the place that accepted my offer. And so I was able to move my wife down to Sacramento, and we had a subcontract on a 300-acre facility in the Sacramento area. And we ran our operation there successfully for about 2 years, when that facility, which was owned by the county of Sacramento, leased by another gentleman who subleased it to us. And the whole contract came up after 2 years, and we found that he was going to change his whole setup for it, and we were not a part of the plan. So I put in an RFP for the whole thing. I was, you know, I don't know, 24, 25 years old. And I'm now going against a high-level politician who controlled this 300-acre facility in Sacramento, and my wife and I are going to fight him for the whole thing. And wow. We fought him, and we won.
Nice.
Our RFP got accepted, and we took on a huge facility. We went from, you know, having just this trail operation and this lesson program to having a 70-horse boarding facility with, you know, many employees, and it went well for a couple of years, and then we fell on our face again. So COVID happened.
Yep.
And so it would actually be the opposite of what you would think. COVID didn't kill us. COVID was good in the sense that people wanted to be in nature. But what killed us really was we didn't shut down. And the county, it's a county property, we butted heads with them. And our whole thing was like equestrian activities were deemed essential. So we're staying open. And they're like, yeah, but you're letting people come ride. And so we got in a big, you know, butting heads on this, and ultimately came down to, if I shut down, I shut down for good. And so then, you know, we butted heads for like a year, and nothing really came of it other than us butting heads. And then one person fell off a horse and sued, and the county took that as an opportunity to cut our contract. So again, fall on our face. We lost our contract there. And within a month, I found a new facility, contracted a new place, got us up and running, and we contracted with a winery and built a horse ranch winery. And we were up and running a month after we got kicked out of our last facility. So
that's a hell again, of a pivot.
Yeah, punch, 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 you know. Yeah, awesome. Just keep punching through it. That was awesome. the place right before this place. I've had the one in San Francisco for 8 months now. Pivoting from the horse ranch, this is the first facility that's not a contract. We bought this place right here off the coastline with unobstructed views of the ocean, just 3 minutes from the San Francisco Zoo. We have the only like horse facility in the general area that's privately owned and commercial use. So
that's great.
Yeah. So those are all the moves.
Yeah. So sometimes things have to blow up for you to land right where you need to be. Because again, like I said, this time last year, like I said, I had lost everything. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know. I walked away from my fitness business. I left all my equipment. Like I walked away from everything and was just like, all right, now what? And I landed in an amazing spot. Here, I'm in a great area. I'm in a great location, great gym, great owner. I have two locations. They're right next to each other here. You know, two different concepts, but I get to work out of both. I'm actually in the gym now, like the owner's letting me do my podcast from here. And like I said, if all of that last year never happened, then I wouldn't be right here where I am. So it's very easy to let those things consume you, especially for men, because there's that stigma put on us about where we should be in life by a certain age. And, you know, when you hit rock bottom and you're in your mid 40s, you know, you got just all these labels and stuff that society tries to put on you. But I block out all that noise and just do what I have to do, focus on my athletes, focus on my fitness clients, and focus on myself. You know, you do those things, then you're going to wake up happy and fulfilled every day.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think about the past here for the same reasons. If my wife didn't tell me that she was sick and she wanted to be closer to her family, I would have been satisfied with the business that I had in the middle of nowhere. And I would have ran that until I was old, and I would have been happy with it. And then she showed her constraint, her sadness. And so I was like, well, I need her to be happier. So I moved us, and we excelled, and we became a new, bigger business. And then I would have been satisfied on that county facility for the rest of my life. And I would have grown old there, and I would have been okay with it. And then we butted heads and realized, okay, while it looks like I own a business, I actually work for the county. And so that was like the butt head there. I was like, got it. Yeah. Okay. And so while I would have been happy forever, we lost that contract and the security wasn't there. I would have been happy forever. But then the next place that we went to was bigger and badder and better. And we excelled and we became something bigger. And then I probably would have been happy with that forever. Except the, you know, there was always, you find these constraints, you find these things. And over there, it was like, my wife didn't believe our horses were the happiest they could be there. Great. Okay. So we moved, we pivoted again. And now we have this beautiful place where we get to give a lot of attention to our horses. It's smaller than each facility we had before, but the amount of attention our horses are getting on the day-to-day is just incredible. So we've got this next step. And in my mind, I'm like, I could be happy here forever. But I guarantee I'm going to sell it. I'm going to move on. I'm going to build something bigger and badder. Because when I feel that, when I hear that, I'm just like, okay, but I don't want to be stagnant. I like the chase. I like the climb. The fight to get to the next thing, the build is way more fun than actually being somewhere and being successful and being comfortable. So
it's funny because that's what my next question was going to be. I was going to say, it sounds like you like the thrill of the chase. And then once you get it where you want it, it's like, all right, I want to do it again.
Yeah. Like this is right now, what we're doing is it's like a big DIY project, and we're going to build, we have a food truck that we're putting in the front with a beer and wine garden. Yeah. So there's going to be like a cowboy cookout aspect. We've got the horse aspect, trails down to the beach. We're putting pods in the back. They're going to be like art studios. So people will have unobstructed views of the ocean. They can stay there overnight. All together, it's going to be like a tiny guest ranch in San Francisco. And this is a huge ambition to build this whole thing. And I'm super excited, and I'm pumped to go there every single day. But I guarantee when it's finished, I'm going to be like, okay, well, what's next?
Yeah. So. Love it. See, and you can tell that you're passionate about it too, because when you were just talking there, you can see the glow on your face. You know, I'm like, this dude is really, really into it. And that's awesome, because when you do that, I know it's cliche, but it's not work. You know, when you love it, it's not work. Like between being here in the gym and coaching my team, because I coach boys and girls. So it's like, you know, they have meets on different days. So there are some days where I'm out of the house, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning to come up here to the gym. And I don't get back home until sometimes 10, 11 p.m. But it's like, yeah, I might be physically tired, but my soul isn't drained. And that's what happens when you're in something that's not fulfilling. Like back when I used to manage restaurants, same thing, a 14-hour day in a restaurant, I'd be dead. You know, just mentally, physically, spiritually, like everything was just drained. But I don't get that. Like I can be in this gym all day long, because every person that walks through that door needs my assistance. They need my guidance. You know, so when you're needed, it's very easy to rise up, you know, and do what it is that you have to do. And then again, and then to watch them hit each milestone, like it's an amazing feeling.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's the same thing here. I think there's a lot of connections between like working with horses and like jujitsu and training, you know? So.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah. So like with the horses, it's not like you learn the thing and then you're done. You know, it's not like basic curriculum. It's like building muscles. So if you want to get good with horses, it's time, and you have to constantly put that time in there and constantly build that. And then let's say that you've figured out how to get soft, and you can get this horse to get good flexion. You can get this horse to disengage and to move with like a great feel. Okay, cool. Let's put you on this horse. Can you do it again with a different horse? Like it's a whole different, every horse is a different, you know, project. So the muscle memory and how you get it and the tools that you're building, you got to kind of put those in your subconscious so you can rotate through the next ones. And I guess maybe not with the personal training side, but more on like the jujitsu and like working out, every move has a counter move, and you keep like, it's like almost like a dance with your partner when you're wrestling. And it's kind of like a dance with your horse when you're riding. So
true. How many horses do you have?
23.
Nice. And is that the sweet spot, or are you looking for more?
You know, I believe that the horses should have, you know, a job. They should have something to do. So I don't like to have horses sitting around. It's not good for them. So horses' feet, they're kind of like hearts, they pump blood. So horses are supposed to be able to move like 20 miles in the wild, just natural grazing. And as they walk, they're pumping that blood and they're circulating. So if you have too many horses and you're not giving them the proper exercise, that's a disservice to your animals. So as I have horses, I make sure that they have a job and they have a purpose. Where we're at right now, We've got a few horses in training. We've got some performance horses. We have one horse that, you know, he primarily does like pony rides and you know, photography. And then we have our horses that go on the trail rides and do the lesson programs, but they all have their primary jobs. And we make sure that they get a proper amount of exercise a day. They're not overused and they're not underused. So where we're at right now is pretty good. If we're going to expand horses, it would mean that we're expanding the business because, you know, again, they all have to have a job.
Okay. All right. So what is the biggest part of your business? Is it working with the veterans? Is it doing the camps? Is it a mixture?
Yeah. So the veterans, the whole premise on that is military veterans ride for free at our facility. So it's a for-profit business where guests can come and ride horses down to the beach with guides that take them down there. And then we have a horsemanship certificate program where you can learn horsemanship from never touching a horse all the way to competition. And we have a packet that explains every step of the way what you're going to learn. So there's no confusion. Now, as far as what the veterans get out of this is there's no red tape. Veterans can just come ride for free. And the reason for that is I thought back on myself and I surely had PTSD or have PTSD. And I keep going through these traumas. But the guy I was before I really dived into this horsemanship was not the kind of guy that was going to say, I have a problem and I need help. And the problem with a lot of these therapy programs for veterans to utilize horses for therapy is they go through the VA where the veteran has to have already gone there and said, I have a problem. And then they can go through the process of going to these programs to get the help. I want them to come too, but I want those people who aren't willing to say, or maybe they don't think they have a problem, to come out and work with horses. And then the horse can do the work. Like, I'm not a therapist. My horses can help heal. I know they can. I've seen it. And I've had veterans come out here. There's one veteran who I met at the VA. He was yelling at the receptionist trying to get a ride home. And as he was yelling, I found that he lived close to the ranch. So I offered to give him a ride. And I said, hey, I just got to stop by the ranch real quick, and then I'll drop you off. We stopped there, and I have one of my employees take him in and teach him some horsemanship, and he asked if he could stay. And I let him stay for a little bit, and I brought him home. And then he came the next day and asked if he can hang out. He was actually the reason that we started letting veterans come for free, because he showed up every single day for like 2 months.
Wow.
And then after like 2 months, he came up to me. He said, hey, I was going to go home, and I was going to kill myself. That was my plan for – like I was fed up, and I was done. And you saved my life. And I was like, not me, the horses saved your life. And he's like, well, either way, you know, I want to thank you for this. And so after that person, I let veterans ride for free. And since then, dozens and dozens of stories similar to this because of the horses have come out. And so I know that the horses are doing something. And all of these people, including that guy, they're these big, brawly, scary looking guys, or these tough shelled people that you wouldn't expect to be the ones that have problems. And some of them are people that there's no way they would have told anybody, including the VA, that they had problems. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I can't judge all VAs. I can only talk about the one that I have experience with. So when my father was sick, he passed in 2019, and we're up at the VA, and like he never really, like, we knew he had some PTSD, but he never really spoke about Vietnam. You know, but we could just tell that certain things he would behave in certain ways, right? So I guess he was trying. My sister, she works with a VA down in New York, and she was saying that, you know, that my mom could get benefits, you know, through the VA, but he has to talk about his PTSD. And so we're in the room, the woman comes in, and she was just like, all right, so what happened? You know, and dad was kind of taken back at first. He's like, no, he's like, I don't want to do this. And she's like, well, if you want to get this, you have to do it. Like kind of like almost being a bully about it. Right. And so yeah. I was like, can I have a second with him? She's like, yeah, you know, and I just did what I do. Cause like you, I'm not a therapist either, but I work with people through anxiety, depression, stress, PTSD, all that stuff, but through storytelling, like not on the medical side, like through storytelling. And so I just started chipping away at him little by little, and he ended up opening up. Granted, what he shared, I wish I never heard, but he did end up speaking up. And, you know, a lot of the veterans that I've interviewed on this show, I even ask them before we start, I was like, is there anything, any place where you don't want to go? You know, because like, I don't want to end up really triggering someone, because not everyone has that emotional control, you know, over those emotions. And just like you were saying, like a lot of people, they keep that inside up until the point where suicide is an option. And that's huge. And I can't, and like, that's a huge reason for me doing this show too, because as people come on here and they talk about their struggles, for the people listening, it unlocks something in them that if you have something that you're holding inside, let it out. Because it can lead you to a positive place. You know, just like you found it going back to horses, and now you're giving back. And by you giving that guy a ride, you actually did save his life, because you picked him up before bringing him to the ranch. You know what I mean? So it's like definitely yeah. Be proud of that.
Yeah, and I think that we are doing a lot here for veterans, but it's a lot of people. You know, you got it, just like you said, you niche down. You found your target audience. My target audience for my business is not quite veterans, but my mission is veterans, you know? And so my target audience for the business is anybody who aspires to be a horseman or a cowboy and wants to come and experience this, you know, either the ride down to the ocean or just being around horses and learning horsemanship. Great. All of those people are paying to make it so that veterans can keep coming for free. And cutting that red tape, like you were saying, you've dealt with a lot of people with PTSD. Your dad was one of them. Your dad did not want to go through the process. And it sounds like it was years and years and years and years and decades after he did his time and served that he finally said, okay, I'll go talk. But who's helping the person through that time period between when they dealt with the trauma or had the trauma and where they're finally dealing with the trauma? That's what we're trying to do, is be the place where, you know, I don't need you. You could have zero trauma and just be a veteran who wants to ride horses. Great. You might not know you have trauma. And then you find that the horses help you get that emotional intelligence that you're missing. Amazing. Or maybe you know you have a trauma and you're hurting inside and you're trying to find an outlet. This is also the place for you. And I don't say that this is the just you should stop going to a counselor. If you know you have a problem, please go to a counselor. The horses don't substitute that. They're something different. And I think, you know, if you don't have an outlet, like working out for you or track and field or jujitsu, which I think is another great thing, just similar to how horses heal me. I've had several friends that have gone through that process, and that's healing as well. But if you don't have an outlet, then seek one out, and we're free. Like, if you live in the area, come out and ride. You could ride every single day if you wanted to. You could practically live at the ranch if you're a military veteran.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Like, my son, I have twin boys, and one of them, he, in 2019, he qualified for the track and field nationals out in Sacramento. And he says that was his favorite trip, was going out there. And, excuse me, it was hot. It was hot, hot. The thing was 106 degrees, I want to say. It's like, I'm in Rhode Island, so 106, that's like, you know, frying pan hot here. I don't even think we hit 100 this past summer, I want to say, but it was so hot. Like, they canceled school here once because it was 90, you know, in June. It's like, they canceled school over there. And they got these kids baking in the sun, running track and field and doing all that. So they were built
in Sacramento. It gets like 115.
Yeah, that's what the woman at the hotel said. She's like, oh, this, she's like, this is nothing. I'm like, nothing. I was like, wow. That was amazing. All right. So, yeah, you're right. Time flies, man. All right. So let people know where they can find you, how they can get in touch with you, and then just share what's next.
Sure. Yeah. So Ocean View Stables, that's the name of our facility. It's in San Francisco, or it's in Daly City, 3 minutes from the San Francisco Zoo, right on the border of San Francisco and Daly City. That's Daly City. And it's called Ocean View Stables. We are a horse recreation and educational facility. Like I said, located just a few minutes from San Francisco with unobstructed views of the ocean and trails down to the beach. We are putting a food truck in the front, which will have cowboy style barbecue food. and you'll be able to watch horses get trained on or lessons be given, or walk down to the beach while eating your barbecue food. And then on the back of the property, we're putting art studios or pods where you could stay overnight, and you can enjoy this place as a tiny guest ranch in San Francisco. So ultimately, it's going to be a whole experience that you can come enjoy.
All right. And then before we close out, I want you to give some words of wisdom to a veteran out there that may be hurting and they need an outlet, but like they're just afraid to ask, or, you know, they don't want to take that step. What do you say to that person?
Well, you know,
deep.
That's a hard one. Yeah. So I went through my own traumas and I had to hit, you know, a pretty rock bottom spot before I started to find a way out. And I hope that not everybody has to fall that deep and that far. If you're already seeing that you're having struggles, if you're coming back and you're not finding that camaraderie that you're looking, that you had when you're in the military, just know that a lot of military veterans, especially those of us that are combat arms, we all feel this, and we all feel like we don't want to be a burden on our teams because they're still out there doing the fight, and that we feel like a burden to society. But in reality, we're all skilled at problem solving, at maneuvering, and the skill set that I had in the military has translated to almost every success that I've made so far. So when you're transitioning back, it feels like it's hopeless and that you aren't a part of this society, but in reality, you have a skill set that surpasses most civilians. And if you can hone in on it and put that to action somewhere in the civilian world, you're going to be great. If you're still struggling, you can always contact me, Zachary at OceanViewStables.com. I can get you some outlets to help you. I know places all over the nation that do something similar to mine. It might not be horses, but there's whitewater rafting, there's taekwondo, there's jiu-jitsu. There's a lot of different programs that veterans have created that they allow other veterans to enjoy for free, for the same reasons that you can come to my facility and ride for free. So,
yeah, obstacle races too. Like, I'm big into Spartan races and Tough Mudders, and there's like Oscar Mike. There's a bunch of them. Like, you see them out there with the flag. Sometimes they're pulling people in wheelchairs. You know, you see veterans with one arm or one leg, and it's a big team effort, and everyone helps them through the course. Like, it's awesome. And even here in Rhode Island, we have an organization called Find Your Bold, and it's very similar thing. Like, there's a fixed obstacle course about maybe 15 minutes away from here, and yeah, they work with people with disabilities, veterans, and it's a great cause, man. So I love what you're doing. Thanks for taking the time to come on the show and share. And I'm pretty sure we'll see you again, because, you know, we haven't even scratched the surface and what you got going on. So we'll have you on again for a part two if you'd like.
Yeah, we can do that, definitely. Your listeners want me to, then, of course. Yeah.
Of course they do. I don't bring on bad people. They know that.
shout out to Robert Foster and tell him that you need Zachary Layden back. So I'll come.
There it is. All right, man. Thank you and have a great day.
All right. Take care.
See ya. All right. So I have nothing else to add there. That was a solid ending. And again, if you're going through something, especially if you're a veteran, if you're out there in the Sacramento area, if you want to go travel, it's Ocean View Stables. And again, that's Zachary Layden. And this was a solid episode. I'll be back tomorrow and Wednesday this week. So there's four shows this week. Today, tomorrow. I lied about Wednesday. Today, tomorrow, and Friday. All right. So take care. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Shut Up and Grind. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. Robert has over 20 years experience pouring his knowledge and expertise at many events in the service and fitness industry, as well as secondary schools and universities. He has a true passion for helping others break through the barriers that are holding them back. To book Robert B. Foster to speak or to reach out, go to robertbfoster.com. Till next time, shut up.